At the Sound Healing Center, we have four main things going on: the Institute, the Sound Healing Store, the Sound Therapy Center, and the Sound Healing Research Foundation. At Globe Institute, we offer two sound healing certificates and one audio recording certificate. All of them are also offered online, as well as in person here in Sausalito, outside of San Francisco. We're the only state-approved college in the entire United States that offers sound healing. David has written the number one selling books in both fields, The Art of Mixing, The Art of Recording, and in Sound Healing, The Complete Guide to Sound Healing. The Sound Healing Store has over 400 sound healing instruments and technologies. We also have a physical store where you can experience everything. In the store, we've got over 100 CDs and downloads. We've got all of my books. We have a full range of instruments, including crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, didgeridoos, gongs, drums, rattles, tuning forks, and a full range of melodic instruments. We also have a wide range of consciousness-raising technologies, including sound chambers. We have sacred geometries and pendants, color and light therapies. We also have our brainwave assessment kit software and the voice analysis software. And we've got a full range of vibroacoustic tools. We make sound lounges, sound tables, sound vests, sound pillows, sound dolphins, and bass straps. All of these are excellent for a wide range of physical and emotional issues and just getting you relaxed and blissed out. At the Sound Therapy Center, we have over a dozen treatments that we offer here in Sausalito, and many of them we offer online. We also have the online Sound Treatment Center with many practitioners. We use a program that's way better quality than Zoom. Go to Sound Treatment Center to check out the practitioners and to book a session. At the Sound Healing Research Foundation, you can find over 1,000 clinical and student papers categorized for easy searching. You will also find the Medical Sound Association with over 1,000 doctors and sound therapists meeting bi-monthly to create treatment plans for a wide range of issues. These 30-page treatment plans are an excellent resource if you're working on a specific issue for yourself or a client. Check out medicalsoundassociation.com, where you can also join and attend our bi-monthly meetings. Finally, we have the Sound Education Association. We got a grant for $100,000 to bring our curriculum into two Montessori schools. With over 100 teachers and administrators, we've created over 2,500 exercises for kids from 3 months up to 18 years, all based on the books on brain development. We're now expanding the curriculum and creating schools around the world. Check out soundeducationassociation.com, where you can also join for free. You can find everything at soundhealingcenter.com. You can also email us at david@soundhealingcenter.com or call 415-777-2486. Now enjoy the podcast. Hi there. I'm David Gibson. Let me tell you about some things that are going on at the Institute. We've got my new book, The Sound Loving Relationships book, is out. You can find it at soundlovingrelationships.com in case you're still having trouble with relationships, kind of like all of us. You can check it out, and it's really, really a incredible book, actually. It's helping me. Okay. We also have a sound bath coming up that I'm doing this Friday here in Sausalito, Friday, February 7th, 7 to 9 p.m. Lay down and bliss out. And then we also do online, we're doing the World Sound Healing Day, February 14th from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific time. And then Laura Sanchez, one of our students, is doing a sound bath on February 21st here in Sausalito. Our next open house is Sunday, March 2nd. Come get blissed out, go on the sound table, sound vest, and find out how it all works. And then our next semester in person in Sausalito just started actually last week, so you could still jump in easily, mostly Monday and Wednesday nights, and half of it's online as well. You can also do the whole
on program online, and that starts this Tuesday or a week from Tuesday. We just started the recording program, which you can still jump in. Let's see, we've got our voice analysis Harmonia software. We're having a training tomorrow. You could still jump into, actually. And we also have the brainwave software. I think that's it. Oh, the vibrating car seats as well. You can actually get seats in your car and get blissed out. So much bliss that we actually require that you have a monitor that makes sure you're still awake. Okay, so that's the things that are going on at the Institute. Today's show is about service. It's really an important aspect of your work on the planet, your work, and especially with sound. We're going to be talking about the difference between selfishness and service. And it's kind of a really big deal. So, it's really the main thing we're going to keep coming back to. Our intention, by the way, our intention is that everybody is in complete service for the planet and humanity after taking care of themselves. Got to take care of yourself first so you can be in service. Okay. So, number one thing is to ask yourself, what is your core motivation for what you're doing? It's really a deep question. Alice Bailey, in her spiritual books, she talks about this in detail. What is your motivation for doing what you're doing? And there's a big difference between motivations. Most people are looking for creature comforts, which are not bad. It's nice to have a house or, here, I like having a sound table. I love my sound table, right? It's nice to have some basics. You don't necessarily need a freaking massive mansion unless you're using that to bring in funds to help the planet. That could be cool, right? But it's really also could be just to get the girl or get a relationship, right? Or just to feed your ego and feel good about yourself, especially if you've been told you're a piece of crap by parents or society, which is quite common, right? Commonly, people just do things to feel good about themselves. And the big one, of course, is to make a bunch of money. So the question is your motivation for yourself? And this is a deep question. Or is your motivation for what you're doing to help people on the planet? And it could be as simple as giving a smile or love or caring as a nurse, or just saying hi or being kind to someone on the bus or on the street or at the grocery store, right? It could be that simple. Or actually, really wanting to make a major change on the planet. The question is, what's your motivation for what you're doing? It's interesting. I really got into this after reading a book by Hermann Hesse. In the book, The Glass Bead Game, there's a short story in the back of that book. And it's about this guy that goes on a hike out in the woods, and he comes across this guy meditating in complete bliss and peace. And he looks at him, and his energy is so incredible. And he says to him, "How can I obtain this beautiful, peaceful energy?" And the meditating guy says, First, go to the river and get me some water, and then I'll tell you. So the guy goes to the river, and while he's getting water, this other person happens to be there and looks at him and goes, "Holy crap, you're the long-lost prince. And your father just died. And now you are the king of the land." And he's like, whoa. So he takes him back and he starts running the whole country. And over a period of time, he actually falls in love, has a bunch of kids. And then years later, there's another country that tries to take over that country. So there's a war, and they invade his castle or wherever and kill his wife and kids. And then he wakes up next to the river and realizes it was all a dream. So he goes back to the guy in samadhi and bliss and says, if that was a dream, how do I know that now is not a dream? And the guy who is meditating goes, you forgot the water. And the message was, all that matters is service. All that matters is service. Once you've got your basic needs taken care of, which is the oxygen mask, right? You got to have your basic needs taken care of. I mean, if you're starving to death and have nowhere to sleep or anything, you know, to serve others is not normally your main focus. Although there are people like St. Francis. St. Francis was totally about being in poverty and still did service. And it brought riches to him, actually, which he didn't take. Right? So if you're actually struggling to survive, if you're in survival mode, you got to take care of that first. Although, as we'll talk about in a minute, service could be the way out. So that's your oxygen mask. You got to take care of yourself first. It's interesting. To do service, you got to be selfish first. You got to take down the oxygen mask for yourself first before you can help others. Otherwise, you're going to be dead, right? Being dead is not going to help anybody. Right? So that's the first aspect. But what I've realized, that the amount of need that people have is different. Let me put it this way. The cost of or quality of the oxygen mask can be different. But let me put it this way. There are enough resources on this planet for everybody to be really comfortable and abundant. So if you've got, you know, a house or got some nice things, don't feel bad about it, because that's creating flow and comfort so you can actually help others. Now, if you've gone off the deep end, I guess there's a threshold where some people just keep buying things. Oh, let's get like 100 really expensive cars, right? Oh my God, let's be a car collector. Oh my God, what's the point there, right? Or people that have multiple mansions, maybe that's important to actually help bring in more funds to help people. And so that could be true, but often it's like, is that service or for yourself? So everybody's got a different threshold of how comfortable they need to be before they can totally engage in service 100%. Now, we're not talking about quitting your job and volunteering the rest of your life. You could be homeless, right? We're not talking about that. There's definitely a basis of selfishness, you could say, or taking care of yourself first before you can help others. But it's really interesting. You know, years ago, when I got turned on to this idea of service, probably even 15 years ago, I remember thinking, if I do good and help others, people are going to like me. I might even get a good relationship. I might get the girl. I might get a better job. Right? If I am a good person, then that is good, right? And that's good. That's good. But my motivation was still selfish. And then, God, it was probably less than 10 years ago, maybe even 6 or 7, maybe 5, I don't remember, where the focus on service became the whole thing. Now, there's times when I think, oh, this doing this good could make people like me. But that's not my focus. My focus is now where I'm at is how efficient giving my mind something to do. Because the mind always wants to fix things, and it often wants to fix things for you. So I've given my mind the task of being efficient in figuring out how to maximize the number of people to help. Just keep it busy, right? Then it doesn't get into trouble. So that's my mind's job. I've given it that job. How can we figure out? So whenever I think of a project I'm going to spend time on or money, I think, okay, how many people is this going to help? I don't think I'm 100% pure. I think there's probably things I do to impress people. No, I admit it. But I've definitely made headway because I know there's times when I'm just focused, most of the time, when I'm just focused on what the service is, how we can help people, how can I figure out how to get some funds? How can I figure out how to attract the people to actually do this project to help people? Right. So the focus is that. And it's interesting. If you look, I've gotten now where I have radar for people that are focused on service. You can sense it from the way they talk. You know, I mean, some people just simply say, oh, yeah, you know, if we did this project, we could make a bunch of money. Cool. What's the point, right? What's the point? You can totally tell. Now, there are some people that are making a bunch of money in their business helping people. And that's cool. That's really cool. You know, there's nothing wrong with making a bunch of money. The way to think of it, here's the way to think of it. This is a big highlight. Think of money coming to you. Let me put it this way. Instead of money coming to you, money coming through you to help people. That's the way to think of it. It's like a whole new economic system. About 5 years ago, I was talking to this psychic friend, and she said, Dave, there are beings on the other side that are way more interested in your projects that you've come up with than you are, because they know it's going to help a lot of people. So when you actually come up with these ideas, spirit kicks in. I said to the psychic, I said, well, do I need to get out of bed? Do I need to create business plans and create proposals, maybe nonprofit proposals, right? And she said, no. They're just going to show up. I said, no slippers? No slippers? And she said, right. You don't even have to get out of bed. Well, often I do have to get out of bed and open the front door. I've got neighbors that know a lot of major people that are doing work on the planet and even have a lot of contact with people with a lot of funds. And it's like, so sometimes I do have to get out of bed and open the front door. Right? It's amazing. That's what what is happening. My close friend who's helping with the funding, she got a download when she was in Mount Shasta, living in Mount Shasta, to create technologies to feed people and also a whole media program to attract people to help with the funding, to feed people and educate people in third world countries around the world, and put together, based on this download, put together a whole system to that's gone viral already in Uganda, where she creates these centers where they grow their own food, and it actually expands into the whole township and helps everybody, because it's built to actually grow as well, no competition. And now she's getting billions and billions of dollars to expand this around the world. When you come up with things that will help a lot of people, spirit kicks in really big ways. And that's what's happening around here. I feel so unbelievably blessed because we have a lot of funds coming in to be able to help people to create a new medical system that we've talked about and a new educational system and do media to educate the whole planet on how vibration can help you in so many ways. It's really a new economic system. Instead of putting a business plan together and finding investors, which are mostly, not all, but mostly, probably way more than 90%. Investors are mostly focused on making money. And that energy is completely different. So instead of doing that, come up with a plan that will help millions of people. Let me give you some examples of what we're working on. I've talked about this in previous shows. So Anthony Holland now has 15 different frequencies that will destroy 15 different types of cancer 80% of the time in a lab. And he's got clinical papers. He's done research over 10 years to find these frequencies. And now we're looking at helping him get FDA approval, which means no more chemo, no more radiation for anybody down the line. This is massive. So many people get cancer, right? So to have a treatment that will not kill you is incredible, right? Here's another one. We're looking at finding the frequency of every nerve that creates pain. The science is that if you fill up a nerve with sound, nerves can only handle one piece of information, and therefore there's no more pain. So all we have to do is find the frequency of every nerve or every mechanism, whether it's a muscle or a cell, whatever it is, for all pain. Fill up those nerves or mechanism with that frequency of them, and now we're talking about an end to almost all pain in even a year. Again, it will take a while for people to believe it to expand. But once people realize, oh my God, we've got clinical research that says 95% of the time, this pain is completely gone and often doesn't come back. And we show the percentage. Oh my God, this is incredible. There's a colleague of mine that did a really cool research project. And not like he was trying to do it for selfish reasons, still helping, but it was like he had 1,000 people tone with love into a little device that had blood cells in it to see what it would do to the blood cells. It was a medical device. And it created so many healthy red blood cells that it overwhelmed and shut down the device. It was incredible. Just people toning through Zoom into this medical device. Really cool, right? How is that going to help millions of people? Well, it shows that sound and intention works, but you know, it's not like that's going to change the world. The question is, how do you help millions of people? What is really going to do it? I know another company, they actually spent thousands and thousands of dollars on finding what how medical intuitives could heal carpal tunnel. And they measured the carpal tunnel in detail within a lab and found that they went from like 45, something like 45 on a scale of 100 of pain down to like 30. Well, again, first of all, that's not even a major change. It's cool. It's cool. But again, how is this going to help millions of people? We got some big problems on the planet. Figure out how to help millions of people. I mean, we were just talking about in class today. We need a research center that will research exactly what frequencies grow plants more and create more nutrients. We know from there's the company Sonic Bloom that actually has specific frequencies from birds that will make plants grow way more, like 30-40% more, and need less water, need less chemicals, and just have way more output. Well, we could find out what frequencies create specific nutrients and even expand this more. This could help get rid of hunger on the planet. I mean, there's like another project that could help dramatically. We know that if you find the frequency of toxins in the air or in the water, you can target them with frequencies and have them drop out of the air and water. Oh my God, the potential here is so massive to help people on a really massive level. And now what we're looking at is actually creating flow systems with frequencies, musical flow through the body to heal every disease by mapping out every cell with an electron microscope or light microscope, and then mapping out the rhythm with the actual EKG and EEG. Right? We talked about this in many other shows. We're talking about finding the holy grail of how the body works based on vibration. But even more importantly, changing the educational system so we find the gift of every child and we teach in a way that lights kids up and gets them still so they can focus better and they have more social, emotional health personally, but also in relationships. And because of that, they don't feel bad about themselves because they can't think or have good relationships. Oh my God. And we've got over 2,500 exercises to begin, right? We're talking about major changes. So that's really important. When you focus on creative ideas to help a lot of people, spirit kicks in. People kick in. They go, I mean, okay, so here's an perfect example. I went to an investor meeting that had 25 venture capital firms last week. And there was like 120 people, and we're all like talking to everybody about our projects. And I'm telling them about my projects, and I got like 8 venture capital firms that wanted to come over and talk. We're not even really interested, because that's like investment money. Then you're under pressure to make more money for them. So although it could work, because maybe they've got a team that will pull it together so you can actually do a project in a certain area that could help a lot of people, and okay, it makes them money as well. So it could work, but we're getting donation for our project. So it's right there. You know, when people see that there's massive benefit, they're really interested. Because deep down, we all want to help each other. Even if we exhibit selfish behavior, you know, I want to make a ton of money. Actually, the truth is, we all really, I mean, even these venture capital firms that are about making money, they're like, okay, if I see somebody that can really make a big difference, I would invest in them first. So there's a cool part to it, even though kind of selfish intent there. But what I look at is really, where is the selfish intent in relation to the service? And you can feel it, right? You can feel it in people's energy of where their focus is. I look at whether the service is just a little above wanting to make a bunch of money versus making a bunch of money above helping a bunch of people. That's where, and you can sense it. You can really sense it. Okay. So I want to play a song about healing the planet. This one is over 30 people focusing on energetically healing the planet and toning that energy of healing to the planet and everybody on the earth. So I'm going to play it. And if you like, tone along and send healing energy to the planet and everybody on it with 100% focus. Okay, let me share my sound. Okay, here we go. Okay, tone along with the energy of service to help the whole planet. Okay. Here we go. Thank you. Even love can be selfish. A lot of people give love to get love. Even saying, I love you. A lot of people hope the other person says, I love you back. When you really express unconditional love for the highest good of all, then relationships resolve in a beautiful way. There's no adversarial energy. The truth is, when you have attachment to the self, that's when you get frustrated or upset. If there's no attachment to the self, there's nothing to get upset about. It's a pretty high state of consciousness. I don't exactly have it down. Another thing is that I do is the level of advertising. A lot of advertising is really trying to really do it precisely in a way to convince you that you need it. Or, I mean, there's intense advertising out there to almost trick you in or convince you. Advertising is not inherently bad. You want to educate people about what you got. That's why I tell you about the things we've got. But when I advertise, especially as a school, I just put out there what we have. I don't try and say, you really need that, until I really learn who you are. It's a focus that is not about just trying to convince somebody so you can make money, right? It's what is best for that person. There's also the aspect of working on someone while doing a treatment. Last week in class, we just started the class at the Institute. One of the women in class, she goes, I'm really afraid to make sound because I might do it wrong or feel silly. Well, if your focus is exactly only on helping that person service, there's no thought of whether you're doing it right or wrong at all. You just are focused on doing the best thing you can come up with your knowledge, whatever it is, and your energy to help that person. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. So it gets rid of all fear of not doing it right. And that could be in anything. If your focus is on how can I do the best job, because I know that that's going to help this company even for their mission, which is good. It's a tricky one. Should we all quit our jobs? Tricky one. If we're working for a company that's not focused on the highest good, well, that could be good so you can actually make enough money to be able to have time to go and actually come up with ideas or go volunteer or do things that will help others. Could be. It's the way our system is set up. So it's hard to blame people for it. Right? But then there's the really rich people. Like Elon Musk, Bezos, and Zuckerberg. How many billions do you need? How many billions do you need? Right? And they've got philanthropy sections. That's cool. That's cool. They you know, are donating money. And some of them actually do project to help the planet here and there. That's cool. But the focus is on making more money. I mean, that is really a selfish focus versus service, even though there's some service components in there. I mean, why the hell, you know, don't you actually pay your people more, Right? I mean, this is, I mean, how many billions do you need? Now, it's interesting because if you look at Bill Gates set up a deal or has recommended that everybody give away what, 50% of their funds, their money. Maybe it was even more than that. That's really cool. Now, I'm not saying Bill Gates is not selfish, but it's not light years better than just making more and more billions, right? Service. Let me put it this way. When anybody is suffering, we're all suffering. And that could be immigrants. That could be people that don't have health care, people that are in poverty. Could go into politics big time. I could get in trouble around here. It's dangerous these days, right? So, really, when you have a focus to help as many people as possible, then you create systems to support. And most countries around the world are set up so the taxes are way higher. So that, I mean, it's like when I lived in Denmark, somebody said to me, "How can you live in a country like the US that doesn't take care of their poor, sick, and old? How can you live in a country? There's healthcare for everybody. Buses are free, right? It's like this, it's free to go to a doctor." When anybody is suffering on this planet, we're all suffering. So when you get down to it, when you can get to a place where you're one with the universe and one with everybody on the planet, service is all that matters. And it's like the only thing you can do because you're helping. This is funny. When you realize we're all one, you're helping yourself is helping all. By helping all, you're helping yourself because you are one with everybody. That's funny. Selfishness and service become the same thing when you realize we're all one. Because now you know that by helping others, you're helping yourself. Okay, does it really matter at that point whether you're trying to help yourself or others? It's like you know that when you help others, it makes you feel good. So it's like that kind of selfishness is probably the best kind of selfishness there is. But the very best is when it's 100% focus on the service itself, and even ultimately, how to actually maximize how we can help people. Just imagine everybody only focused on helping everybody else. Just imagine everybody on the planet completely abundant. So nobody is struggling to survive anymore. Just imagine that everybody, all they have time for is to help others. Let me put it this way. Everybody's got so much time, they don't know what to do because everybody's so abundant. So all you do is help others. Because why not? And come up with creative ways to help people that are sick or suffering. Right? That's all there is to do anymore. Or just play. Just play. Play can be fun. Create new ways to play. It's really cool because once all of our needs are taken care of, once we got that oxygen mask on, what are you going to do? How many people can you help on that plane? Just your kid next to you? How many people can you help? And here's the deal. The more you are at peace, with the more capacity you have to help others. And again, as you know me, the most fun and the most effective thing for peace is sound. Sound is the most effective of all. Ooh, I wasn't going to do this, but I want to play this. I just did a show on the news here in San Francisco on one of the stations. I want to play you the little spot. It's really kind of gives you a cool overview for bringing this in to the masses. Let's see. Let me find it real quickly. Okay, here it is. Okay, let me share my screen. It's only like 2 minutes long. Okay, check this out. See what you think. Let me share screen. Okay. Stop sharing the sound. Sometimes you share sound. There we go. Okay, here we go. Okay, check this out. Oops. Here we go. Okay. So this is just aired on the news yesterday morning in San Francisco. Here we go. Okay. Check this out.
Torn by tension, hammered by sound. Seems there's no escape from it in the city. But can sounds like these also scientifically soothe?
Chaotic vibrations are like fear, anger, anxiety, versus the vowels, which are.
David Gibson has been working with sound for decades.
I was a professional recording engineer, and I worked with a lot of major groups, and I started seeing the magic coming across from different musicians. And I thought, how can we reproduce that at will?
At the Sound Healing Center in Sausalito and at other studios globally, people do de-stress by being bathed in sound.
The basis of all sound healing is the difference between chaotic vibrations and stable, consistent vibrations, which are peace.
One of David's clients is Belinda Salvage.
I'm a music teacher and I play violin, and it's the one place I can like surrender to sound.
The idea is to listen and let go.
Just peacefulness, relaxing, allowing everything to wash away, your mind to empty out.
What am I doing? Vowels with stable, consistent tones. Anybody can feel the difference, right?
There are a few studies that, as you might expect, show that heart rate and blood pressure do lower under the influence of soothing sounds.
But most importantly, anxiety starts resolving.
And for David Gibson, that's what all this is all about.
What I've learned is peace is a frequency humming consistently.
Belinda, you feel a lot better afterward?
Yes.
Peace is the whole deal. Peace physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. That is the definition of health.
Bringing it into the mainstream, that's the whole deal. Our intention, again, is that everybody is focused on service once their needs are met, and then everybody on the planet is taken care of. Imagine that energy for the rest of the week, the rest of the months ahead, years ahead, lifetimes ahead.
Take care.